Jesus is talking from this side. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's some things he couldn't do because he had to pay a debt for us that we couldn't pay for ourselves. So that when he paid the debt with his own life, and then died as and for us, and then rose again, then there's things he can do for us as his bride that he couldn't do over here because the debt's been paid. I'm glad your debt's paid. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him, his son, sin for us, that we, believing in him, might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the question is, how righteous are believers? If they're in him, they are as righteous as he is because he is their righteousness over here. Do you understand? And that's don't calculate that by performance. Calculate it in faith. So in one of Acts, Jesus starts talking in verse 4. So if you have your Bible, turn with me. Acts 1:4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Please underscore in your thinking, but go there and wait for a promise to be fulfilled. It's a promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, when will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you, when you go to Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, when you go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses, martyrs, to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. I want to talk to you about that little phrase. He said, go to Jerusalem and receive the promise of the Father. How many of you know, we often say, God won't lie. That's true, because God can't lie. He has nothing in him that's evil. So when God makes a promise, you can bank on it. It's going to happen. It's not a might happen or could happen. It's going to happen because he made a promise and he can't lie, because his very being will not let him lie. So what I want to do is kind of follow that thinking, hopefully to a conclusion for us. And I know I'm speaking to the choir, but I want you to take your Bible, and I do hope you have it, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, Paul gives us my first point about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, in this particular verse, here's what I want you to see. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ when we are born again. Let me say it again. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ when we're born again. How many know you can't join the church? You can join an institution, but you can't join the ecclesia. You got to be born into it. It's like Gina and I have two girls. You can't join our family. We can adopt you, but you got to be born into it. You understand what I'm saying? So you can't join the church. Now you can join a fellowship, and we know that's very biblical. But you can't join the church. You got to be born into it. Now look at verse 13. That will clarify it for us. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one spirit. So when you got saved, you were baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. He baptized you into Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Now, how many of you know the Holy Spirit's doing the baptizing? Isn't that right? For by one, let the word speak. For by one Spirit, by that Spirit we're baptized into the body. Okay, my second point. I want us to look at John's ministry because this all fits together. And if you have your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 3. And the third chapter of Matthew, it begins to talk about John the Baptist, I'm talking about, John's ministry. My second point. It says in verse 1, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, listen to me carefully. John had a twofold ministry. Here's what it was. Repentance and announcement. Twofold ministry. Repent. He kept saying, repent, the kingdom is at hand. Repent, repent, repent. Meaning you're going this way, change the way you think and go this way. Repent. The other one was an announcement. Now listen carefully. What was his announcement? He said, I'm not the one. I am a forerunner. I am an announcer of one coming behind me. And every gospel, and I'll give it to you in a minute, every gospel begins to record it. John said, there's one coming whose shoelaces I'm unworthy to reach down and untie. Let me just give you a little, hang on a minute. Jesus said about John, nobody had ever been born of a woman greater than John. How about that for a funeral sermon? Jesus said, no one born greater of a woman than John the Baptist. So John said, there's one coming whose shoelaces I'm unworthy to reach down and untie. He who's coming behind me, he's going to do something for you. Now, this was John's message. It was repentance and an announcement. Now, if you write something down, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, it says, Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. How many know fire is a cleanser, but it's a motivator? You ever burnt your finger and you don't just look at it and go, well, I just burned my finger. I mean, I'm running all over the kitchen hunting a cold spot if it's in the kitchen. The Holy Spirit came to cleanse and to motivate us. Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:3, Jesus shall baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:16, he shall baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. John 1:33, John said, this is he, Jesus, who shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That was John's ministry. And so between Jesus came John with an announcement about one coming behind him who had something he wanted to do for his bride. My third point. Jesus then, if we look at Jesus, became our model for life. In other words, people often, especially the folks we run with, folks like you all, I hear people all the time say, you know, Jesus said, greater works than these, talking about what he did, greater works than these shall ye do. And I normally will say back to them, tell me who. I've never in my 81 years known of anybody that did it better than Jesus. If you do, would you stand up and give testimony? We want to hear it. He's not talking about, listen, the quality. He's talking about quantity. Because the same Jesus that did all of these works now lives in millions of people around the world. Greater works. He could only be at one place at one time. So don't look at the quality. I mean, I've never walked on the water. Anybody here been, y'all didn't walk across the river to get here? I mean, you know, we say these things kind of off the cuff. And in our reality, the Jesus that lived in the Bible came to indwell us, to live his life through us. That's what Christianity is. So let's look at the model. He's our model. He's not a mannequin. He's a living model of the will of God. Would you say amen to that? Amen. All right. So in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, the angel shows up, you well know, to Mary and says to Mary, Mary, you're going to have a boy. And she said, but I don't know a man. Verse 35, but the angel said, but you shall conceive by the Holy Spirit. In other words, you're going to become pregnant as a virgin by the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's how this thing is called the incarnation. Luke chapter 3 and verse 22. So some 30 years later, and you can go there. Let me see if I can find Luke 3. Luke chapter 3 and verse 33. If I can find it. 22, I'm sorry, it's not 33. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Jesus goes down to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son, and you I'm well pleased. Now, how many of you know Jesus didn't get saved? He never was lost. Jesus never sinned. Do you understand? Jesus was born of the Spirit. So what's going on at his baptism? The same thing that God planned for us. We get born again, and then we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, let me just say this, lest I forget. I nearly forgot something once. Been so. You know, on the day of Pentecost, this happened. And so therefore, people who believe that, they call them Pentecostals. They're not Pentecostals. It just happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, it happens all the time. Because that's happened to you, don't make you a Pentecostal. It makes you a normal Christian after the model of Jesus Christ. So here he comes up out of the water, and guess what? The Spirit of God comes like a dove upon him. It's his baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now let me take it a step further. In Matthew 17, the first five verses, they're on the Mount of Transfiguration. And guess what happened? Jesus steps over into that other dimension, into the glory, and the whole mountain lights up. And, you know, Peter gets all excited and wants to build three churches. Because Moses and Elijah are here, and the glory of God's there, and they're living there right now in a whole, that other dimension that you can't see. Here's what I want you to see. Out of that glory, the Father gives Jesus the confirmation. He said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Well, now we're talking about the model. Jesus, being the model, was born of the Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Father, with his own word, confirmed who he was. You get it? Okay. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. We were over there a minute ago, pretty close. So go back to Acts chapter 2, or over in that general direction, in the second chapter of Acts. We'll slow down a little bit here because I got some time and there's no sense wasting it. So in the second chapter of Acts, verse 37. Now, how many know in verse 37 down through 39, Pentecost happened in 2, right at the beginning of chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell, and you know that story. That'll never happen like that again because that was the first Pentecost. So we're now living out of what happened in Acts 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. But you jump down to verse 30, 37. Peter jumps up and starts preaching out of Joel. This is what the prophet Joel said, you've heard that. But you get down to verse 37, and when they heard Peter talking, verse 37, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and brethren, what do we do? Tell us what to do. Now watch this. Peter's going to lay something out that becomes a pattern, okay? So we have Jesus the model, and then you move into a New Testament church model because Jesus is now living in the New Testament church. Look at what he says. What shall we do? And that's when somebody asks that, preachers always want to give an answer. What shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said to him, now watch, three things I want you to see. Peter said, the first thing you need to do is to repent. Isn't that what John said? The first thing, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized. Number two, repent, be baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit or the promise of the Father. Now here it is. Here it is. I didn't say this. It's in the book. This is what he said. Repent. Turn from your sin. And we only repent by conviction. Conviction brings repentance. Repentance, water baptism. The baptism doesn't save us. It's the yes of our repentance. Repentance, baptism, and then you're eligible for the promise of the Father. The gift. And you can't earn a gift. A gift is a gift. How do you get a gift? You receive it. You ever notice at Christmas around the tree, you're not earning, you're just passing. And Jesus came to give us a gift. Matter of fact, if you go to the last chapter of Luke's gospel, he called it a garment. You shall be clothed with power from on high. Clothed. Somebody said, these days we preach 3,000 sermons and don't get one saved. Peter preached one, got 3,000 saved. Must be a difference. It's not our intellectualism. It's the power of the Spirit that God wants to release in His bride. Across the planet. So let's go a little further. In the 8th chapter of Acts, and I won't keep you too long here. In the 8th chapter of Acts. So remember, say this after me so you don't forget it. Repent. Okay? Give me a little better response. Say repent. Got it. Baptism. Receive. There it is. Now you got it. So in other words, when I repent and I'm baptized, I'd be saved, wouldn't I? Somebody, you can talk to me and I'll talk back to you. It don't matter. Of course you'd be saved. You could not repent of your sins and receive Jesus and be baptized in water, not saved. Now, I don't mean this to be ugly, but it will sound that way, so I repent before I say it. Fellow said to me one time, don't you think baptism saves us? I said, no, I don't think baptism saves us. Context is important. So he said, I do. I said, so you believe baptism is your salvation? Yes. I said, well, could you be baptized and not saved? He goes, yeah. I go, then how can it save you? And he got mad. The reason he was angry is that he don't have an answer. Baptism is important to God. It's more than a symbol. Baptism in water is wonderful, but it's not. It's the kiss upon my repentance. It's the completion of my repentance. Now, in the 8th chapter of Luke's gospel in verse 12, Philip goes down to Samaria. And there's a lot we could go on and on. It goes down to Samaria. And when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Now let me ask you, were they saved? You can answer me. Of course they were. Let me read it again. Because we just read out of 37 of the second chapter. They believed the gospel Philip was preaching concerning the kingdom and of Jesus Christ, both men and women, and they were baptized. Of course they were saved. But jump down to verse 14. And when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. But they were already saved unless they were receiving the promise of the Father as they did in Acts 2. I believe with all my heart, as much as I believe the tomb is empty, that God's plan is to redeem us, to save us, forgive us of our sins, and count us the righteousness of God in His Son Jesus. I believe it is the will of God and the desire of God the Father to clothe the bride of His Son with the baptism of the Spirit in Acts 2. So that they may be in the world the vehicle through which the Spirit can move. Now, I believe that, and I think I can prove that in Scripture. Because, you know, when you think about what's happening around the world, the churches that are growing the most are the churches that are preaching this message and demonstrating it. Because, do you see that? I mean, you know, obviously they were saved. But then they get Peter and John to go down, lay hands on them, that something else might happen to them. Well, let's go to another one. You would know this one, even over in the 19th chapter, and Paul comes by the upper border of Ephesus. And I don't want to read the first seven verses. But so he comes to the upper border of Ephesus. And verse 2, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Somebody said, I was asked that, and I said, the Holy who? We never heard about the Holy Spirit. I mean, I can tell you for years and years and years and years, a number of years, I had no idea of what I'm telling you now. Because I sat in a little restaurant in Boaz, Alabama, while attending Snead Junior College, and that's been a while, with a friend of mine, and he was trying to explain what I'm saying to you. And I stopped him and I said, not me. I got it all when I got saved. And you know what? He was smart enough not to argue with me, just prayed for me, and I got worse. How many know God has a ways and means committee, and it works well? He loves me too much to leave me in my ignorance. And that was ignorance talking because I didn't know. Now, you can, I know a lot of people that love God that are not baptized in the Spirit. I didn't say that either. I know you're right. Baptism in the Holy Spirit does not get you to heaven. It's getting heaven in you. Y'all mighty quiet tonight. But y'all will love Brother Eddie when he gets back. Hallelujah. This power of the Holy Spirit, we've needed it to date, but where we're going, we have to have it. So, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? I said, we've not so much as heard of the Holy Spirit. Well, I said, into what were you baptized? They said, John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were all baptized. Now watch this, in the name of Jesus Christ. Are they saved now? You can answer me. Of course they are. You couldn't be any more saved than they were. How many know you can't get saved but once? My elder one time was in a lay witness mission. He said, I led the same fella to get saved 5 different times over the weekend. How many know he wasn't getting it? So they were baptized in the name of Jesus. But when Paul laid hands on them, there it is. I'm reading. I'm looking at it. He laid hands on them. The Holy Spirit came up on them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. That's normal Christianity. That's Christianity 101. And so they were saved, they were baptized, and then Paul laid hands on them and they received the promise of the Father. Isn't that good news? I mean, you know the reason a lot of people don't go into this is because they're afraid. The devil uses fear against them. What if I don't get it? What if you do? I like what Jack Deere said. Somebody said to him one time, when you pray for somebody, what if they don't get healed? Jack said, if you don't take the credit, you don't have to have the blame. You can't heal nobody. But don't be afraid. Listen, God's not going to give you something to put fear in you. He's going to give you someone to get fear out of you. The Lord wants to so flood us and fill us with Himself that we look a lot like His Son. I think there's a real call on the Bride of Christ in America right now to go after the fullness of who Jesus really is. I can tell you, you won't know a thing about Jesus without the Holy Spirit. It won't be your intellectual ability. It'll be the Spirit of God revealing to you. I know people who got information, and they've got a lot of it, but they have no revelation, so therefore there's no transformation. Well, here's my last point. Here's what I want to talk to you about. Who's this for? The promise of the Father. Who's it for? It's not for the world. How many of you know Jesus don't dress up the world? He saves the world. He dresses up His wife. You know, the beauty of it is there's a wedding coming. Did y'all know that? I mean, an eternal wedding. I don't mean like, you know, outside somewhere. I'm talking about an eternal wedding called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Let's sit together. And He's going to be there and serve the bride. But in Revelation, this is what it says, and I love it. And the Lamb's wife has made herself ready. In other words, she's dressed up. I believe God's wanting to make His wife ready. So who's it for? It's for the bride. It's for the Lamb's wife. It's for the believer. John 14. If you want to turn there, I want to read it right quick. John 14. Look at verse 16. Well, let's look at 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. That really is not the best translation. 15. This is what it really says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Makes it a little stronger, doesn't it? And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another, the word another, like myself, helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world, watch this now, cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. The world can't receive what we're talking about tonight. It's not for the world. It's for the church, for the bride. I've given a little of it before, but June and I got saved on the same Sunday in a little Methodist church out in DeKalb County, Country Methodist Church. I don't know what the preacher preached on. All I remember is I thought he never would hush so I could get saved. I was under conviction so bad. I remember going to the altar and I got saved. June got saved. Her sister got saved. And then 4 years later, I felt the call to preach. And if you were Methodist, the only thing they needed to do with you is give you a church. And that's what they did in June of 1967. Shortly thereafter, 6 to 8 months after pastoring, I started having this craving inside that this wasn't all there was to this thing. But that's all I knew. Get saved. That's wonderful. You got to get saved. And so people were getting saved. The church was growing. There were people getting saved right and left. And so I had this craving inside that there's something more, but I had no reference point. So all I knew is to ask some of my parishioners, do you believe there's more to this thing than just getting born again? They go, oh yeah. I'd say, well, what is it? They go, we don't know. The blind was leading the blind. They didn't know either. And the longer I lived, the more I wanted something more than what was happening in me. And I had no reference point. I had nobody to teach me. So then we moved over here in 1969. And I met a dear brother who knew he had a reference point in his theology. Because he had a theological framework and he had an experience he walked in. Remember, what you believe will create your theological framework. And so he believed it, walked in it, and I had no idea until one day some things happened where he expressed that experience. And I said to him, how long have you been doing that? Now he was an uppity guy. One of them first church guys. I was just a peon at the university trying to finish. And I said, how long you been doing that? I thought, well, he's going to lay hands on me. It's going to happen to me. I said, how long you been doing it? Oh, he said, a long time. You don't? I go. I said, we were going. But I'd like to. Because I knew what that hunger was what he had that I didn't have. I knew it. I said, how do I get it? He said, you have not because you asked not, and turned and walked off. Hurt my feelings real bad. I thought at least he could have laid hands on me or done something to me. Help me, Holy Ghost, help me. Just turned and walked off. Left me standing there. Well, I got in my old car and I took off to the parsonage. So I got to the, June was not there that day. So I went into the parsonage, went in the back room, shut the door. I don't know if I locked it or not. Just in case I made a mess out of all of this. And knelt down by an old chair and I said, Lord, what, and I called his name, what he's got is what I've been hunting. If that's you, would you give me, and these are my words now, the promise of the Father. I know I'm going to heaven, but I know there's more. Would you baptize me in your Holy Spirit right now? Scared the daylights out of me. I began praying in a language I'd never heard before. And I remember as soon as I started, this is what I said. Lord! You've ruined this Methodist preacher. Isn't that pitiful? That experience that day changed the direction of our lives. I wouldn't be here today had that not happened to me. I left there. June and I left there in 1972, went to Asbury. And I went to seminary in Asbury, right behind the revival that came. I still was able to enjoy part of that. And we started a little Methodist, we part of a little Methodist church, which is a student pastor. And the Spirit of God blew His breath, and we had revival break out 2 years after we were there. We stayed 3 more years. It never stopped. We had continuous revival. It wasn't because of me. And the seminary students, some of them would come over, you know, from the seminary. Because, you know, if you're operating, and God gave us a mind to think, but if you're operating just intellectually, you got to write a note. Number one, He's doing this. I'll do that. Number two, so they were trying to figure out what I was doing to make happen what was happening. And they'd ask me, and I'd go, I don't know. My district superintendent would call and say, what are you doing? I'd say, I don't know. He'd say, what are you preaching out of? I said, the Bible. I think it shocked him. And I'm serious. I mean, that's the kind, because I didn't know. We were beholding God doing something we had never seen God do before. But it started at that old chair in the Methodist parsonage a few years before. So here's my encouragement, hopefully, to you. I'm talking to hungry people. And if you can't say, this is for all of us, but for you, if you can't say there's a definitive moment since I've been born again that I know the Lord Jesus baptized me in the Holy Spirit. If you don't know that, you can. You can know that. How many believe you can know? Listen, there's some things you can know. Bless God. I mean, somebody said, how do you know when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit? Some guy spoke up and said, how would you know if you got hit by a freight train? See, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, like we're talking about the promise of the Father, there is imparted to you a language that the devil cannot interpret. That is a, if you will, a hotline to glory that the devil has no authority over. It's the language of the Spirit. It's not the gift. It's the language of the Spirit. Amen. You say, I know what you think. Do you have to? Let me say this. You get to. It's like kissing my wife. You come up to me, do you have to kiss June? I go, I get to. I mean, it's like people ask me, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? I say, I want to. So you understand what we're talking about tonight. It's God's model for the bride of His Son, Jesus. You know, I mean, the Father's promises. Son, I'm going to send the promise that I told you I would do, and I'm going to let you do it. See, this is a Jesus baptism, not a Spirit baptism. I mean, you know, when you're baptized in water, the water don't baptize you. Well, think about it. Just go stand in the water and see how long it takes you to get baptized. You can stand right there and you fall over. Somebody, you can say, James is here. James baptized me in the water. Do you understand? Jesus said, I have come to baptize my bride in the Holy Spirit. I'm doing the baptizing. So there's a baptism Jesus offers only to the bride so that they can propagate and advance the kingdom. And one day we will see Him face to face. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, but that's my heart. I want to see it for everybody. People think, you know, you don't get crazy. Well, don't tell me because I don't want to change. I don't know everything, but I can tell you what I'm telling you now. I know it's the gospel truth. So, one more time and then we're going to pray. If you don't have a definitive moment and you're hungry, that I know when He baptized me in the Holy Spirit. I know He did. I remember it. then I would encourage you in just a minute, rebuke fear and step out and claim the promise of the Father. Now here, how many know it's a gift? Do you got to work for it? You can't. Don't present to the Lord. You know, Lord, I prayed 6 hours and I won 4 people to Jesus and raised 3 from the dead and 4 blinded eyes. None of that'll get it. That's good, but that's not what we're talking about. This is a grace gift of the Holy Spirit. If you will present yourself without reservation and in faith receive, you can receive before you leave tonight. It's that simple. It's quite awesome. But it's the truth. And hallelujah. I'll tell you, this is a little humorous, but when I was at, Gene and I went to Asbury, when I was at Asbury, and we were living right outside of Frankfurt, anyway, there was a, I forget who he was now, but he lived there in Wilmore, where the seminary is. He drove a little Volkswagen. Well, anyway, he got hungry for God, and he's driving down the road in his Volkswagen and got the baptism. Well, there's people who react differently. Not everybody goes ballistic. You know, some people just go, I mean, you know, some people said after they get the baptism, they ought to be locked up for 6 months. But anyway, I don't know about that. But anyway, he got the baptism in that Volkswagen, and he was having a time. Just him and the Lord. And he had to stop at the grocery store and get something for his wife. And he kept thinking, how am I going to get in that grocery store in the condition I'm in right now? He said, I just jumped out of my Volkswagen. I ran in there and I got it, jumped back in my Volkswagen and started all over again. See, this is heaven on earth in part. And it's God's gift to his son's wife. Let's pray. Maybe the worship team, Andrew, would come, please. Would you just bow your heads with me for a minute? Lord, thank you for the Lamb's wife. We decree the Revelation passage where the Lamb's wife has made herself ready. And that tonight, Lord, that we are hungry. And Lord, on a Wednesday night, and Lord, you know that I just felt like this was the word, Lord, and I don't know anything beyond that. And you know I don't. But I just know, Lord, there's some precious, precious people here tonight that love God, but have never claimed the promise of the Father. Well, every head is bowed and nobody's going to embarrass anybody. God forbid. And I realize this is a Wednesday night, so if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but there's a hunger in your heart and a willingness to receive, you can receive before you leave. If you put your hand up and put it back down to God, I'm not coming to you. I wouldn't do that. But if you never have received what I've tried to explain tonight, but you're hungry for it, put your hand up and put it back down. Anybody in the house? God bless, God bless. Anybody else? How many people that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you need a refreshing from the Lord? You know, there's one baptism in the Spirit, but there's many moments in time when God refreshes his wife. You have a deep desire for that refreshing tonight. There's just that God bless you number of people. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, come. For the hands that went up, I'm struggling with how to respond, but for the hands that went up, I want all of us to pray together so they can pray with us. So would all of you just join me in praying after me so that these can receive right where they are. So when I pray, just if you would, to assist and help, just pray this after me. Say this, Lord Jesus, I'm hungry tonight. I give you all my life with no reservation. I'm asking you tonight to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I believe it's your desire. I confess it is my desire for you to fill me now of your Holy Spirit. I believe I receive in Jesus' name. Now begin to thank Him. And there's a language down in there, but I'll leave that between you and the Lord. There's a language down in there when fear will turn it loose. Just begin to thank Him. Lord, thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit. Because Luke 11 says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall He give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? So you've asked. Now thank Him. The more you thank Him, the more real it will become to you. In the name of Jesus. And for those that need that refreshing, for all of you that lifted your hand, just ask the Lord tonight, refresh me. Refresh me in the Holy Spirit. Lord, I don't want to get stale and numb. I don't want to get religious and walk in deadness. I want to walk in life. Come, Holy Spirit, and refresh my heart this night. Believe it. Receive it. Thank Him for it. In Jesus' name. If you believe that, can you say amen? God bless y'all. Well, give the Lord a God bless you. Would you put your hands together and thank Him, would you? Well, let's stand up, please. And I'll be around here if anybody wants to come. And I'd be glad to pray with you. And there's others here. Mike is here. Put your hand up like this, would you? Put your hand up. I pray the Lord Jesus bless you and keep you, that He make His face to shine upon you. I pray the Lord Jesus will lift up His countenance upon you and give you a peace that you cannot explain, but you can receive. May the anointing of the Holy One, the promise of the Father, rest heavy upon you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people shouted amen. God bless y'all. Thank you for being here. Hallelujah.